Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Come to interrupt your life today and tell you some truth, all right? And I think it's so powerful. We talked about a divided kingdom. On one side of this kingdom, and we've been talking about this in this series, you have the kingdom of God. On the other side, you have the kingdom of darkness. There is no in-between. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral ground. You're either moving one way or the other. You're either moving one way or the other. Some people go, if I could just remain neutral. Other people say, if I could just go back. Why would you ever want to go back? Because the enemy has thrown so much stuff at you. You're like, I'm just going to go back. It was easier back then. I promise you, it will not be easier. Because the kingdom of darkness is all about robbing, killing, destroying you. And I love what God's kingdom is all about. It's all about bringing you life and life more abundantly. But you have to choose what kingdom are you going to live in. And here's what I think happens with a lot of people. They try to have a foot in both worlds. Here's the deal about that. If you give the enemy an inch, he'll take a mile. And you wonder why, if you have a foot in both worlds, you wonder why the enemy attacks you. You wonder why, like, all of a sudden your life doesn't seem to work. I want to challenge you, firmly plant in the kingdom that you want to be planted in, the kingdom of God. Firmly plant there. Say, man, I'm not going to have a foot in both worlds. And I want to challenge you. That's why I wanted to wait for communion. Ask the Lord what that looks like in your life. Lord, do I have a foot in both worlds? How you might know if you have a foot in both kingdoms is, well, I believe most of what the Bible says, but I don't know about the stuff that I want to keep doing. Right? Well, that was just written by a bunch of men who, but it was God-inspired men. Do you have a foot in both worlds? Well, you know what? I really love to have my foot here because it's a lot of fun, but I want the benefits of the kingdom too, the kingdom of God. Trust me, if you have a foot in both worlds, it's going to bring destruction. You cannot have a foot in both worlds. Jesus called the Pharisees out in Matthew 12 through all of our sermon series that we have been looking at. He said, listen, you're trying to have a foot in both worlds. You're trying to sit there and say, man, that I'm powered by Satan. That's what, if you look at Matthew 12, multiple times the Pharisees said, oh, you're setting a demon-possessed man free because you're digging into the power that the enemy has. It doesn't even make sense. But that's the kind of thinking when you got a foot in both worlds. Looking back to that first message in this series, remember Jesus ran into a man that was demon-possessed. He was blind and he couldn't speak. And what I can tell you about that is he was suffering a lot. Because anytime a person is demon-possessed, they are suffering. And what I love about Jesus is he said, listen, I am not moving on until this man is set free. That's how Jesus still deals with us today. And whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. He was blind. He couldn't speak. Jesus was not just going to keep moving like the Pharisees had done in this man's life day after day. It's the same. Jesus is not content to leave you in suffering. It's the same. The Pharisees saw this and they accused Jesus of getting his power from Satan to cast out a demon. That does not even make sense. Why would Satan be trying to cast out one of his own from this man? But see, when you've got a foot in both worlds, it doesn't make sense. When you're trying to be in both kingdoms. Let's take it one step further. There's such a stark difference of the two kingdoms that come into play here. I said it a little earlier. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. He was very happy that this man was suffering. The enemy would love to keep you suffering. That's why he keeps you in that prison. And some people will say, well, man, why does God allow suffering? Suffering does not come from God. It comes from the enemy and the fact that we live in a fallen world. So stop trying to blame God for your suffering. Let's put our finger right on him and go, enemy, you're the one that's causing me to suffer. And because of it, I'm bringing 150 more people into the kingdom of heaven with me. Let's hit him where it hurts. Hit him where it hurts. I believe the enemy was happy that this man was suffering, and he was happy that he had the Pharisees that were trying to argue with Jesus and keep this man there. You have to decide what kind of kingdom you're going to live in. And I want to tell you something. You have to decide what kind of kingdom you're going to walk out when you leave this place today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What kingdom are you living in? Pharisees, the Pharisees were on one side, Jesus and the disciples were on the other. As we wrap up this message series and we come to Matthew 12, 33 through 37, Jesus lays this out. And every time we come to the end of a series, we go back to our theme. This year's theme is bear good fruit. And it is not just a happy, I want to tell you, these yearly themes, like you talk about God going deep in people's lives, like it's not just a promotional tagline. You bearing good fruit is such an important call that God has called you to do. And listen, I could just repeat this message, this scripture we're going to read for the next 30 minutes over and over again, and it would be a mic drop moment. Okay, are you ready? This is Matthew 12, 33 through 37 in the NLT. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Let's bow our heads right now. No, I'm kidding. We're digging into this. But Donna, could you grab me just a glass of water real quick? I appreciate it. Now I want to read it from the Message, which is the paraphrase from Eugene Peterson. If you grow a healthy tree, you'll pick healthy fruit. If you grow a diseased tree, you'll pick worm-eaten fruit. The fruit tells you about the tree. You have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. An evil person is a blight on the orchard. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to haunt you. There will be a time of reckoning. Words are powerful. Take them seriously. Thank you so much. Words can bring salvation. Words can be your damnation. We live in a world where words don't matter much. One kingdom versus the other kingdom. In the enemy's kingdom, he loves to hear those words of death and destruction and make us think that our words don't matter. In God's kingdom, every word that comes out of your mouth is powerful and has a job to do. When we talk about fruit, what are we talking about? Because we're talking that our lives are likened to a tree. Jesus says, build a strong life, build a strong tree. What goes into building a strong tree? What is the fruit that's going to come out of your life? But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Hey, listen, that's like you get the buffet as much as you want, right? You can have as much joy as you want. You can have as much peace as you want. You can have as much love as you want. There is no law against those things. It is vital that we take time to see what kind of fruit's being produced in our lives. It's vital that we stop and we take a picture of what's going on. We take some time with Jesus. What kind of fruit is coming out of my life? And we live in a society that says, oh, well, you can't judge me. I'll tell you what, we can look at the fruit of another person's life and know where they're at. Just like you look at the fruit of your life and you know where you're at. Now, it's not a matter of judgment, but it's a matter, I'm thankful that there'll be a friend, that you have friends in your life who will say, dude, that is not good fruit. In fact, your fruit is stinky. You have stinky fruit. That's rotten fruit. If you're married, that's sometimes your wife's job. Hey, that fruit is rotten. Like, you need to get rid of it. Taking time out to say what kind of fruit is coming out of my life. What words are flowing out of your mouth? The words that come out of a person's mouth tells you what's going on in their heart. And then actions come next. We've all been around a person who talks a lot, but there's no actions to back those words up. So what's the source of fruit in your life? The source of fruit is your heart. What kind of shape is your heart in? And it's no one else's job to guard your heart other than you and the Holy Spirit. And no one else has the right to keep you from having the right kind of heart. You can have every excuse in the book. Well, I was hurt here. I was hurt there. Listen, we are all going to be hurt. We live in a world where there's hurt and there's pain. Well, I was hurt at that church. Church hurt. All of that stuff is an excuse that you need to take to the Lord and say, God, I need to be healed. I need to be healed because I'm not seeing things right. I don't have the right kind. If your heart is not whole and healed, and that's your responsibility, and listen, you go, I don't know how to do this, and reach out for help. You have a whole team of pastors and life groups that are ready to help you to get healed in your heart. Because it doesn't hurt the people that hurt you, it hurts you. So you stay broken, and you'll never build a good, strong tree of life in your life. Many people live with soul wounds their whole life. Those wounds, they get deep into our hearts. And that's why I want to encourage you. Listen, don't let offense and bitterness grow in your heart. Get rid of them. And you do that by forgiving. Well, Pastor, it's so hard to forgive. Make a choice. And every time it comes up, Lord, I choose with your help to forgive that person. Because I don't want bitterness to get rooted in my life. I don't want to get hatred rooted in my life. I want to tell you, when something gets rooted in your life, start looking at the fruit that comes out of a person's mouth and life. Don't let anything turn you to the kingdom of darkness. Because listen, those things that the enemy throws at you are like darts. The Bible says they're fiery darts. And they'll get right down in your heart. And if you allow them and you hold on to them and you nurture them and you cause them to grow, it causes you to have a broken heart. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. It's a supernatural moment. You might need counseling, but I want to tell you what Jesus can do in one moment of healing your heart, a counselor can never take care of. And I'm not saying counselors are bad, but I think you do it together. You let Jesus heal that heart. You must allow Jesus to make your heart right. No bitterness, no anger, no hatred. The Lord wants to set you free from the soul wounds that keep you stuck. And that's what Jesus was talking about, the treasury of our hearts. And the problem is, when you talk about a treasury, some of us are bankrupt in that treasury. Because we haven't been spending time building our hearts. You're bankrupt. You haven't been spending time with Jesus. You haven't been spending time building that treasury to be able to give out. If your heart is bankrupt, what kind of fruit is going to come out of your life? We're going to look at a couple points about that, but I want to say this before we dive in, and I've said it and I'll highlight it again. You decide what kind of a heart you're going to have and what kind of fruit you're going to bear in your life. You decide. You're not a victim. The things that happen to you, you can rise above. So stop letting the enemy keep you in prison. It is time for freedom. I've seen people who have had the most difficult and challenging lives produce some of the most amazing fruit. Listen, turn those challenges and difficulties into building that treasury, and those challenges will cause you to bear good fruit. Stop looking at those challenges and all the heartbreak and everything and wondering why, and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do with this? And what kind of fruit are you growing in my life? Listen, some of us need some pruning. Because that's the other thing with trees. This tree out here was, when we first got to this building, it had leaves all around it. You remember that? It was like the ugliest tree ever. Like shoots going off and like all this stuff. Like you couldn't even see what the real tree looked like until we had somebody come in and they cut all that stuff off, and it's a beautiful tree. Listen, some of you have all of that stuff around you that you think is trying to protect you, but what it's doing is you're keeping everyone outside. Listen, God wants to prune that and show what kind of a tree your life can be. You can't let your circumstances decide what kind of heart you're going to have. If you've experienced deep hurt and pain, allow the Lord to heal that. That is the core to building your life. And listen, so many times, and you're going to hear a lot of stuff that I say pretty regularly. But this is a moment where Jesus reminds us. Do you know that the most important things Jesus reminds us over and over and over and over again until we actually get it? Let Jesus heal you, because that's the core. That's the soil. That's where the roots of this tree of your life are going to go down deep in. So point number one, your heart is at the core of what kind of fruit you're producing. Listen, Matthew 12:34, when Jesus said, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right?" And Jesus can say it because he knows their heart. He can look in their life and say something like, how would Jesus? Because Jesus knows what's going on in your heart. Jesus knows it. We try to hide it. Oh, well, man, if I can just hide it, maybe Jesus isn't going to know. He knows what's going on. He's waiting for you to give it over to him. You cannot hide your heart from God. He knows what's there. It's shocking when Jesus called these men evil, but he knew what was there. You might be able to hide it from those around you, but you can't hide it from God. You decide what your heart is going to be, what you're allowing in your heart, and what you're asking God to take out of your heart. What can make a heart evil? Because there's people in life, oh, everybody's good. No, we're not. We live in a sin nature. You watch a little two-year-old, and all of a sudden you see what kind of people we are. Right? Right? We come with a sin nature. What brings evil into your heart? Hate, unforgiveness, bitterness, sin, anger, deep hurt, envy, rage, comparison, insecurity, inferiority. If those are things that are going on in your heart right now, it's time to let the Lord in to heal it up. If you give the enemy an inch, he'll take a mile. What makes a good heart? It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Question is, what do you want coming out of your life? What kind of fruit do you want to be growing? Take that list and go, how am I doing in the area of love? How am I doing in the area of joy? How am I doing in the area of peace? And if you notice, it says the Holy Spirit brings these things about in our life. He's the gardener. He's the one that will come and prune. You allow him in. You don't have to do this on your own. Because some people think, well, if I could just make myself better, we can't make ourselves better. The Holy Spirit comes along to do that for us. Allow God full access to your heart. Don't hold anything back. Here's the thing. We can give God 90% of our heart, but what about the final 10%? Well, if I could just hide it, because that's the most painful. The Lord wants to get down deep in those areas. He already knows what's going on in your heart, so stop hiding from him. And how about we bring it to him? How about we say, Jesus, here it is. Because I want to bear good fruit. The treasury of your heart. The Bible talks about the abundance of your heart. Listen, what you can always tell is when you get pushed a little bit, what comes out. That's the abundance. And that's where you decide. If you get pushed a little bit, if you get mad, angry, frustrated, that's a moment where you got to say, okay, God, I got to step back. Because when I get pushed, what's the abundance of my heart coming out on other people? Point number two, your words show what is truly in your heart. This is where I'm probably going to step on your toes. So if you wore sandals, I'm sorry. Besides, it's too cold anyways. How can you tell what's in a person's heart? Listen to their words. Make no mistake about it. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, what comes out of your heart is a gauge of what's going on. What comes out of your mouth is a gauge of what is in your heart. Jesus made this very clear to the people around him in Matthew 12:34. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. When the Pharisees accused Jesus of getting power from Satan, it showed their hearts. It wasn't just the words. It showed their hearts. Okay? Stop and listen to what comes out of your mouth on a regular basis. That's how you know what's going on in your heart. And I'm dead serious, because we live in a world where words don't matter. Stuff gets thrown around. Literally, the power of our words. Let this sit for just a moment. What is coming out of your mouth shows what's in your heart. And here's why this is so important. Point number three, you will be held accountable for what comes out of your mouth. Listen to this. Not only what comes out, but the Bible says every word. This is not Old Testament. So don't be going, this is New Testament. This is Jesus talking to people. And this is what he said. And this should stop you in your tracks. Words are powerful. Every word matters and every word has a job to do. The words that come out of your mouth are either going to bring life or death. We talk about this a lot here. It's because we got to get this down in our hearts. Because some of us, we use our words to wound people. Our words come flying out. We have no control over it. My mom once called me out on it because I have a mouth that can, like, right? Like, it doesn't take much, especially if you get a little anger behind it, all right? And she says, your words are like a feather pillow. You open that pillow up and you swing them on all around and you go to try to put those words back in and you can never get all those feathers back in. The power of life and death is in the tongue, and Scripture says you're going to eat its fruit. Again, fruit of the Spirit. What kind of fruit are you eating right now in your life? It could be because of the words that you allow to come out. This is what is the gravity of this verse. Listen to this, Matthew 12:36. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Guys, every word. That's why we can't afford. Like, some of you are looking at me like this. Every word. I didn't write it. Think about this. What's come out of your mouth in the last week? What are you speaking over your life? Man, my finances are down. Man, I'm gonna fall apart. I'm gonna go bankrupt. That is speaking death over your finances. There are people in this room who need to repent for the words that have come out of their mouths, that you've continually allowed to come out of your mouth, the negativity, the complaining. And I only say this not because I want to pick on you, but because this is the warning that Scripture gives us. If you want to build a strong tree, and you need people in your life who are going to call you out and say, why did you just say that? Don't get mad at them. Be thankful. Why did you say that? What, even more so, what's going on in your heart that you would say that? Please don't throw your words around lightly. There are people in this room who need to repent to the other people in their lives because their words that have been used wounded other people. Don't throw your words around lightly, even on Facebook. Don't think, well, I'm just a keyboard warrior, and man, these are still your words. They still have a job to do. They show what's in your heart. We live in a society where there's not much value on what we say. And that's the divided kingdom, because God says every word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to be judged. Listen, the kingdom of darkness says, say whatever you want. Let it flow out on people because, man, it hurts them. Don't throw your words around lightly. I also want you to stop and think about this. If the enemy is attacking you relentless, there may be a reason for it. The enemy does not know what you're thinking until you speak it out. So you start speaking it out where he's attacking you, and all of a sudden he goes, good, I'm getting him. I'm going to continue to hit him in the same spot. He's not creative. He doesn't do anything new. The same way he attacks you 10 years ago is the same way he tries to today until you overcome it and say, God, I'm not going to be attacked. The enemy does not know what you're thinking, so stop giving him the ammo with your words. Keep this at the front of your mind. You will be held accountable for every word that is spoken out of your mouth. Woo! It's getting quiet. Listen, I have to live with this too. I get called out. I have a mouth, right? Some of us, we have mouths. And the Lord just goes, hey, he puts people in your life. Hey, why are you talking like that? Those words have a job to do. Your words show that you're living in God's kingdom or the enemy's kingdom. Point number four, decide what kind of tree you're going to build. Out of that heart, what kind of tree are you going to build? Scripture likens our life to a tree, a good tree that produces good fruit, and a bad tree that produces bad fruit. A divided kingdom, good fruit on one side, bad fruit on the other. You decide what you're going to allow into your life. When it comes to the actual tree, the healthiest, strongest, lasting, and most fruitful trees are trees that have deep roots. And I'm going to say this, and again, since I've already been on a roll, I might have already offended you, and you can just give it up to Jesus. But moving from church to church to church never builds strong roots. Church is not like Burger King, where you go to the meal of the week. What I want to challenge you is get your roots down deep. If you love Hope City, time to get your roots down deep. because it's how you build your tree. What kind of soil are you building your tree in? Do you know down south they have pine trees that are tall? And listen, if there's hurricanes or tornadoes, you do not want to be anywhere near those pine trees, right? Because they'll be ripped right out of the ground. But it's interesting because a pine tree that's planted in good soil grows its roots down deep. And it's not one of the trees that come down. It's the trees that they're planting in bad soil that come down on buildings and houses and crazy stuff. How are you building your roots to build that good tree? There are some trees that are tall, but they're shallow. The minute storms come, the trees topple over. Some of us are like tumbleweeds and not trees. The minute a storm comes, boop, 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 we go tumbling out. Get your roots down deep. It's the time. You might say, Pastor, I've never been able to do that. Today's your day. Build those roots. Start building them. Build them in good soil. I also love how redwoods, we love the redwoods over here, don't we? Do you know how they go down about 6 to 12 feet, but they sometimes will have roots that go almost an acre. And you know what their strength is? They intertwine with other trees. And that's what keeps them standing when the storms come. That's why you need a body to help you to build a tree. That's why you need people around you that when the storm comes, we're going to be able to help keep you standing. What is good soil? Good soil is where you find nourishment to grow spiritually. Good soil will sometimes cause you to not feel necessarily good because you're getting the nutrients that you need. You need to be connected to other believers. Connection is vital. You cannot live life alone. You won't grow fruit in your life without others. God sends people in your life to prune you. Don't miss it. Well, you can't judge me. What if they were sent to prune you? What if they were sent to go, hey, this is not a good branch, and it's keeping you from all that God has for you. You need people that are going to be honest with, well, don't judge me. They're not judging you. They're seeing the fruit. You won't grow fruit without people that will prune. You need people that will tell you the truth in love. You grow roots down deep by getting to God's word and doing what it takes to grow in your spiritual walk. Not just being stagnant, not just having a foot in both worlds. It's especially important when you go through.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.